Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here Tuesday, October the 12th, 2021, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And the last week in the city of Marion has been one of the most interesting seven-day periods that I can remember in quite a long time here in Marion. Now, a lot of this continues to swirl around City Auditor Robert Landon. In regard to that, in regard to all the articles, including the one in the Marion Star today, which I do appreciate Mitch Hooper giving us credit for it. It's a great article in the Star today, if you'd like to read it, involving City Councilman Josh Daniels and City Auditor Robert Landon. Check it out, I guess is the best I can say there. But the seven-day period's very confusing. It's coming off a September 30th deadline, which we will talk more about here in the next hour. We usually talk with the mayor late in the month, but we have added an extra visit this month because of everything that happened last week, and the mayor has graciously agreed to do that. And again, just in the idea of fair play, we have invited City Auditor Robert Landon on this show and have not heard back anything as of yet, but the door is open anytime he would like to come on. So I do appreciate the mayor making time to come on this hour and kind of go through this and help the citizens of Marion understand this, because what I've heard in the last week is everybody's confused. So let's turn to the city, the mayor of the city of Marion, if I can get it out this morning, Scott Schertzer. Mayor Schertzer, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Mayor, just want to take this from the top and try to walk through what was the last 7 days. Before we get into the facts of it all, how do you characterize, you've been around the political scene in Marion for a long time, how do you characterize the last 7 days in Marion politics?
Well, I've never seen anything like it in Marion politics. I think unfortunately, we used to be able to separate local politics. You vote for the person, not the party, from the state and the national politics. But I think the ickiness of national politics has actually seeped into the local level, and it's very disturbing to see something of this magnitude happen with these types of issues becoming so political on one side of the aisle.
I'm going to try to sum up the backstory on this quickly so we can get to what happened in the last 7 days, because that's going to take some time, as hard as it is to believe that 7 days could take this long. But what happened was City Auditor Robert Landon has not reconciled the books for Marion for 2020. This has become important because there is around $2.5 million in federal money that comes to the city of Marion to help fund Marion Area Transit, help fund the Marion Senior Center, and police and fire. Now, at one point, we were thinking that that deadline was September 30th to have those books reconciled. I believe Deputy Auditor Martin Watts said that to the Marion Star. I believe you and I had talked about that in an early interview in September when you first met with the state auditors, the GAP team. So let's start there. That was where we were going into last week. Last Monday, a week ago yesterday, Martin Watts was at the city council meeting, and he was asked if the books had been reconciled. Now, this is 4 days after September 30th. What did Martin Watts say a week ago at council?
Well, it's hard to keep track, Scott, and I understand why your listeners may be confused, but the fact of the matter is that Martin reiterated last night on council that the books are not reconciled. You know, the audit, as we have discussed, it happens annually, and part of the Ohio Revised Code for Municipal Auditors basically clearly states at the end of each fiscal year, or more often if required by the legislative authority, the municipal corporation or city auditor or village clerk shall audit the accounts of all officers and departments. That has not been done. It is, we're approaching the middle of October. The reason the audit isn't done is because the books aren't reconciled. Now, for your listeners who may not understand the terminology of reconciling, I apologize. It's basically like balancing your checkbook, what money came in and what money was expended out. Again, a very basic responsibility of municipal city auditors is to track the revenue that comes in and the expenditures that go out. So here we are in October of 2021, and we have not been able to reconcile and get a look at the 2020 books via a state audit. So now one has to start asking oneself, is there more going on here than meets the eye? Is there money missing? That is a big concern that I have right now, is that money is actually missing from the city's coffers. And that is your tax dollars that we spend. In fact, that's all we spend are your tax dollars. We get the occasional donation for a canine unit from private citizens, but everything that we do involves your tax dollars, whether it's tax dollars from your local municipal 2% earned income tax, whether it's your state income tax or your federal income tax. It could be your gasoline tax to pave city streets, which we're doing right now in abundance in Marion. So I'm very concerned, because right now is also the time that we start putting the 2022 budget together. And it makes it very challenging to know, based upon last year's revenues, what revenues can we expect for 2022 so we can build a budget for the citizens of Marion.
The books not being balanced or reconciled have led you to this conclusion or guess at this point that possibly money could be missing. Is there anything else that has led you to that, or just the fact that the books are not done?
You know, I had a safety director for my first 12 years of in office as mayor, Tom Robbins, and he had a very simple philosophy. He would hold up his index finger along with his middle finger and his ring finger, and those three fingers held up. Everybody that ever worked with Tom Robbins knew what those three fingers meant. It meant do your job. Somebody is not doing their job, and they should be held accountable for not doing their job.
Let's start here, because this is why this is confusing, and the media is having a hard time tracking this story, and that's why I wanted you to come on today and tell us what you know. Now, you said last night, October the 11th, City Council meeting, Deputy Auditor Martin Watt said the books are not reconciled. Okay, that's October 11th. A press release sent to the media, October the 6th, it's got a date on it, from City Auditor Robert Landon. Here's the first two paragraphs. I'm going to read them because I don't want to misquote anybody. Contrary to the information and statements that have been made concerning the responsibilities of my office, I wanted to take the opportunity to, in fact, let you know what exactly the truth is, not the false statements some have made. My office has met our deadline that is required of us to maintain our bonds. The report we submitted is referred to as the annual information filing. This was completed in a timely manner. Further, my office has submitted all information to the state auditors in reference to the reconciliation of our finances. That's 5 days ago from the city auditor. What is that statement?
I think that is a clear statement to CYA, and your listeners, I hope, know what CYA is, because I don't believe that to be honest and forthright. I don't believe the books are reconciled, and that is the whole premise of what the problem is. You know, we have asked, when I say we, the city has asked, the city auditor has asked for three extensions in this year's audit for the 2020 books. And in each one of the requests, two of them were granted, the third one was not. It says impact of ongoing reconciliation issues. So clearly, at the request of the city auditor to extend the deadline for the audit, he acknowledges that there's ongoing reconciliation issues. I'm not the auditor. The auditor needs to answer the questions. What are the problems? In your Ohio Revised Code job descriptions, it says this is what you're supposed to do. So, again, I go back to somebody's not doing their job. All I'm asking is to do your job. This is just one of many issues. It seems like weekly another bomb is dropped. I don't know really what to do. The most recent one was last week when an Ohio Public Works bill was not paid for $75,000. For more than 4 months, this bill was late. This impacts the credibility of the city of Marion, because next month we're going to be asking OPWC for more money to do more sewer projects in the city. And that $75,000 is for a sewer project on South Grand Avenue that's going on right now as we are speaking. We are fixing the sewers, but now we have somebody in the auditor's office who complains about the sewers not being fixed, but is part of the problem of why they're not getting fixed quickly and efficiently.
I want to go back to one line in this statement, because it seems to be completely contradictory to what the statement from the deputy auditor, Martin Watts, was last night. The information has been submitted to the state. This was completed in a timely manner. Further, my office has submitted all information to the state auditors in reference to the reconciliation of our finances. Is that honest at all?
Well, if it was done in a timely manner, then why did we have to ask for 3 extensions? I don't know. Look, I've never had to be this intimate with a state audit. These are questions and issues and concerns that I have never had as a city councilman with Bob Kramer being the city auditor, never had these concerns with Kelly Carr being the auditor as long as I was mayor. We haven't had these concerns until now. Somebody is not doing their job. That is the question we should be asking. Why are you not doing your job?
Somebody not doing their job certainly is an issue without question. But when you send statements to the media that say things that we know now apparently not to be true, does character matter? I think that was the big campaign slogan for Bill Clinton in 92. Does character and honesty at this point in local politics in Marion, Ohio in 2021 matter?
Well, it used to matter. I'm concerned that it might not matter anymore. That's the concern I have. Yes, I do believe character matters. I don't even really want to be talking about this. Normally, when you and I talk, we talk about the things that the city is doing, like paving streets and fixing sewers and hiring police officers and how are we going to spend the ARPA money. But we keep going backwards with the city auditor. You know, he didn't pay a bill. He didn't pay the federal withholdings to the IRS. That's still an outstanding issue. There are just things that crop up daily, weekly and monthly, that the auditor's job for the city of Marion is a hands-on job, okay? You can't just sit back in your Barker lounger and tell everybody what to do. I've never seen a city auditor that wasn't hands-on, and I've had the honor to watch 2 former city auditors, and they were both very much hands-on in doing the job of the Marion City Auditor's Office.
This this issue went further last week. It went beyond the statement because, to my knowledge, Robert Landon gave his first interview to a major news source, the Marion Star, and Mitch Hooper over there last week. And there are 4 points in this article, because if you would have read this article last week, you might have believed everything was okay and that what you had been hearing about for so long now was maybe false or maybe over. Here are the 4 points. I'm just going to go through them from the article, and you give me your thoughts. Number one in the article, and this is the article with City Auditor Robert Landon himself, that the deadline for the federal grant clearinghouse was met a week before its deadline, and that the $2.5 million that we've all been talking about here in federal money that supplies Marion Area Transit, Marion Senior Center, fire, police, that we've all been worried about because of this reconciled budget, is okay now. Is that a true statement?
Well, look, I think this is where the credibility and character comes into play. I'll be honest with you. I think verifying and confirm now, because of credibility concerns, because of character concerns, I think you have to verify and confirm everything. I don't know how, and again, please understand, I'm not the auditor. This is not my job. It's his job. How could you meet the deadlines if you don't have the 2020 audit done? So I'm a little concerned about that statement. I can't say it's not true, but I'm concerned and need verification and confirmation, because the 2020 audit isn't done. Not even sure if it's started in earnest yet.
And I do want to make a point here that we have, this radio station has reached out to Auditor Robert Landon when this press release was sent out last week, and we asked for verification before we would run the press release that this was true, and we have not received that as of yet either. But if it comes, we'll let you know. Second point in the Marion Star article goes to what you just said, that the books have been submitted to the state, and the state is backlogged because of COVID, and that's why we haven't heard anything back. You've met with these gap auditors. These state auditors have come to at least 2 city council meetings now that I'm aware of. Is that a true statement?
Well, I think it's an exacerbation of the truth. I think everybody's been backlogged because of COVID. I think a lot of people in state government are still working from home. But again, I met with the state auditors on or about August 23rd when they were here in Marion and ready to start the audit, but couldn't because the books were not reconciled to the state auditor's specifications. So now here we are on October the 12th, and we still don't know, and we believe, or at least I believe, that the books have not been reconciled to the specifications of the state auditors. So I don't know. I talked to the state auditors 2 weeks ago, and they gave me no indication that the state audit was started in the form and fashion that it normally would be if the books had been reconciled to their specifications. Now we have to ask, why were the books never reconciled to the specifications of the state auditor? Why do we even have to ask that question?
Point 3 in this article, because this is something we had not heard before, at least the general public, that council did not approve a contract with a private accounting firm, and they were named in the article, on March 15th, and that's what led to a lot of this problem. If that had been approved, we wouldn't have had a problem at all.
Well, see, there again, it's the blame game. It's defer. It's deflect. Everything is somebody else's fault. A true leader takes responsibilities for their actions and gets the issue resolved. All we get is the blame game. You know, there's a glitchy system. It's the software's problem. It's Fade Bank's fault. It's Magic Writer's fault. Even to the point where they blame former employees and current employees, but yet nobody is taking responsibility. It's the auditor's job as the elected official to ensure that these things are done and take responsibility when they're not done, and also take the accolades when they are done.
fourth point from this article, final point from this article, was that one of the reasons, or I guess two of the reasons, that this had happened, and I'm paraphrasing the article, was because his office was short-staffed and city council was conducting these investigations that slowed down this whole process.
Well, look, I attend every council and every committee meeting. I am not aware, I haven't witnessed that the council's actions, which are legitimate oversight actions on a city elected auditor, have slowed down the process at all. The fact that they did not go to the outside accounting firm would have been irrelevant, because if the state auditors say the books are not reconciled to their specifications, how would a private accounting firm have been able to audit them to the state's auditor's specifications in the reconciliation process? Again, it's a blame game. It's always somebody else's fault.
This comes to the major point, I think, to the citizens of Marion who are listening to this right now. If, as of last night, October the 11th, and as of this morning, October the 12th, the books of Marion are not reconciled, balanced, per se. We heard September 30th for a long time. I believe Martin Watts told the Marion Star that September 30th was a deadline for him, that he thought he could get things in okay shape by then. We had talked, I believe September 30th was brought up in our conversation in the beginning of September in regard to this federal money. September 3rd came and went 12 days ago. Do we know about the federal money? Is it in danger of being lost right now?
I wish I could tell you, Scott. I honestly don't know. It was the state auditors, when I met with them on August 23rd or thereabouts, that informed me of the important date of September 30th. So I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea whether that money is safe and secure that has been granted to the city of Marion through federal grants that we have applied for, or other means that we have made application for those federal dollars to support the city services. I have no idea. And it's sad that the mayor of the city of Marion does not have the confidence to be able to tell its residents that that money is safe and secure, because it impacts police and fire departments, the very safety forces that we're talking about that just did the investigations on erroneous, unfounded investigations into other issues within the auditor's office. Again, I go back to the three fingers. Do your job.
Normally, we would not bring this up, but it turned into an issue. And obviously it was brought up at the city council meeting last night to some degree. Now, I want to go back and give people the context again, because I don't want anybody to ever say that we misled anybody. Now, as near as I can tell, this started with this October 6th press release. The third paragraph, which I did not read earlier, and there were only three paragraphs here from City Auditor Robert Landon's office, said this. It said, "The challenges I currently face, not only in serving the residents, but in serving my family and dealing with the effects of the COVID-19 virus, a recent comment has been made by a council member that I should be in the office instead of going to church. My recovery from this virus is directly related to advice from my doctor, as well as my church and to my God. I find it repulsive someone in city council trusted with authority would bring my personal faith and physical recovery into the political realm and challenge my personal medical decisions. This is a trend we see in Washington politics, and it has no business in Marion." That's October 6th, City Auditor Robert Landon's press release. What do you make of that, Mayor?
So I think he should follow the advice of his doctor, and his faith is important. I do understand that. Clearly, my faith is important to me as well. I don't talk about my faith the way that maybe some elected officials do. My faith is very private, and it's personal. My relationship with God and my church is private and personal, and I hope I can keep it that way, even though I live in the public's viewing of everything that I do. And being a somebody who has recovered from COVID, I certainly understand how devastating that disease can be. But again, I go back to all these issues that we're talking about. They happened all pre-COVID. They happened pre his diagnosis with COVID. So you can't blame COVID for not paying a bill in May of this year. You can't blame COVID for not reconciling the 2020 books. You can't blame COVID for double paying the state and not paying the federal withholding for the city employees. You can't blame COVID for everything. When are you going to take responsibility, stand up, and do your job?
I hate to even bring this up, but it's in the Star today. I believe the hard copy, and it's certainly online right now. But this statement from Robert Landon in the press release led to a statement from a city council member, Josh Daniels, at large, the independent right now on city council. I believe he and Kathy Swanger are still both listed as independents. And Josh went to Crawford County Now and made a statement. I would have to stretch in my mind back a long way to find a statement like this in Marion politics. The quote, and it's quoted, it says, "He's jerking on the heartstrings of the community for all it's worth. There's a special place in hell for the Pharisees and this guy. If that oxygen tank can go to church, it can come to the office. I hope the community does not continue to fall for it." That is head of the Finance Committee, at-large Councilman Josh Daniels, speaking about the city auditor, Robert Landon. What do you make of that?
Well, I think you're going to have to ask Councilman Daniels about his statements. I am not going to comment on another person's statements that they were quoted to make. You know my feelings on COVID. You know my feelings on faith, which means my feelings on God. So that's everybody will have to answer to for whatever they have said.
And we did have Councilman Daniels on Friday morning, and he spoke about that particular statement. But then we learned on this show Friday, and I do thank the Marion Star for giving us credit for bringing this out on Friday morning in the article today, that does become an issue with the city, because last week, City Auditor Robert Landon filed a police report with the Marion Police Department saying that City Councilman Josh Daniels stole mail. And apparently, we learned, now that Police Chief Jay McDonald has said that this is unfounded. What do you make of that?
Yeah, again, as I explained on City Council floor last night, you know, one of the most valued resources a municipal government has in the state of Ohio are its safety forces. And to use the police department as your own private investigative service is actually a disgrace to the office that he serves in. I can't believe that these unfounded investigations have taken place, I think, twice in 2 weeks. I can't recall of any time where an elected official in Marion Municipal Government has called upon the police department to investigate something that is more than likely, there's a high percentage that they were human errors. So just admit the human error, correct the problem, and move on. Because that bill was not paid in a timely manner, we are now in jeopardy of not even getting the disbursements we need to pay for two projects that are going on right now in the city. One of them, the sewer project that I referred to at the top of the show, on South Grand. I get the newsletter from Ohio Public Works Commission, and their most recent newsletter, dated October the 7th, clearly states, important note, due to past invoices, past due invoices will be held up, the disbursements and applications. So now the application for future OPWC grants and loans will be held up. OPWC is a competitive process. I think we're in an 11-county OPWC district. Each county, each municipality puts forward the projects that they want to have funded by OPWC. They're competitive. They're on a grading system. We always do very well. Public Works Director Jim Bischoff and his team have done a great job of getting OPWC grants and loans over the years. And now we are in jeopardy of not being able to get our application even reviewed because of these past due invoices not being paid in a timely, efficient manner. It's time to stop blaming other people. Nobody hacked the mail. This is an email, okay? That's how it came to my attention last Tuesday, a week ago today. It came to my attention through the Public Works Director, through one of our city assistant engineers. He tried to do a drawdown disbursement to pay the contractors or to pay for our share of this particular project. It's about a 60-40 split, 60% city. I think 40% is OPWC. We tried to pay it. OPWC said no more disbursements because you haven't paid your last bill. That's the credibility. That's the good faith of the city of Marion that is being slowly eroded by an auditor's office who's one of their job duties and responsibilities in the Ohio Revised Code is to pay the city's bills.
I want to come back to this bill point and also the $2.5 million in 1 second, but I think this point is very serious, and I don't know that this has ever happened in Marion politics, and if somebody would like to point it out that it has, they're more than welcome. But because of this police report being filed for stealing mail, which now I believe Police Chief Jay McDonald last night in council said is unfounded, there was an email, it's not even mail that comes to the office with a mailman. Okay, all that. Well, Councilman Josh Daniels pointed out on Friday morning that if this was done to intimidate, if this was done by one elected official, the city auditor, to intimidate another elected official, city council member, chair of the finance committee, that's illegal in the state of Ohio. There's a code that says that, and Josh cited the code. Do you believe that's why it was done?
I do believe that it was done to defer and deflect from the incompetencies of the current city auditor. I believe that statement. Otherwise, why wasn't the bill paid in May? I've got a copy of the invoice in my possession, and I believe the date was May 15th of this year, and here it was paid in, I don't know, September 29th of this year. Why does it take so long to pay the city's bills? It took us finding out by accident because the assistant city engineer wanted to do a drawdown disbursement to pay on a current project. And then that's how we found out we could do no further drawdowns, and it would impact our application for future OPWC grants and loans, which is coming up right around the corner. So I think what is important here, Scott, is does the councilman feel like it was done to intimidate him? And does the law support that? That's for legal counsel and a judge and potentially a jury to figure out.
Final question on that, and then we're going to come back to this money issue because that's important to the citizens. But Josh said on the program on Friday that if he found out, and I assume this was the end of the police report, which I think just came about yesterday, that if he felt that this was intimidation, that he and Mr. Land, and I think what he said on the program Friday, would be headed to Columbus. As the mayor of the city of Marion, you're not in the law profession. I completely understand that. But what do you make of possibly the chair of the finance committee bringing charges against the city auditor for an illegal act in the state of Ohio of calling the police saying his mail was stolen? Because more than likely, That's where we're headed.
Well, look, you know, I've said on this show and many other media outlets in our community many, many times before, and I want to make it very clear again that I am not the boss of the auditor. He is independently elected. I believe he was freely and fairly elected by the voters of the city of Marion. But I understand that the city council has a limited amount of oversight. The finance committee may have a little bit more oversight over the city auditor. And if the chairman of the finance committee thinks that that is the right course of action to right the ship, then that's what he should do. Right now, I think we should all be looking for a way to get the ship back on course, and that is the ship of Marion, because we're doing what we do for the citizens that we represent. Whether they vote, whether they're registered to vote, or whether they have never voted, everything that we do, whether it's fixing sewers, making sure that we have more police officers, I'd like to add more safety forces. But I'm hesitant to do so now because I'm not sure of the city's books. I'm not sure another bomb isn't going to drop once the audit is complete when it comes to grants, when it comes to the city's 2% earned income tax. How can I plan to hire more safety forces when I don't have a clean, legitimate audit completed by the state auditor's office? It's tough enough to put a 2022 budget together, which holds the line on safety forces. So there are a lot of things at play here, not just the incompetencies and the misfeasance and malfeasance and derelictions of duties taking place in the Marion City Auditor's Office. This doesn't directly affect most residents right now. I understand it's a complicated issue, but that's what we were elected to do, to understand the complexities of the things that we're talking about, to make sure that we could provide the services to the citizens that we represent. And that's my number one priority. Is how do we get the sewers fixed? How do we increase our safety forces? How do we provide all the services that our residents have come to expect from the city of Marion? We're getting ready to do leaf pickup. You know, the leaves are finally starting to turn. You know, everything I do deals with these tax dollars, and it makes it very challenging not having a clean audit and knowing that those grants, those loans are being paid for and paid off on time. And it just makes my job much more difficult when the auditor neglects to do his job.
Mayor, do you believe he's neglecting to do his job? Because you have said there are incompetencies. Do you believe he's a competent auditor?
No.
Okay. Now, a few minutes ago, you said, we've got to right this ship. $2.5 million, we don't even know if that's lost. September 30th, the deadline blew by. Apparently, the books are not reconciled as of last night, according to Deputy Auditor Martin Watts, no matter what the press release says last night. You're talking about the OPWC invoices that are eroding, I believe was your statement earlier, paraphrase, eroding faith in the community of Marion. How do we right this ship? We've been having, as you've said, more than I think either of us would like. We've been talking about this for a long time. How do we right the ship?
Well, as always, I have said on your show and many times before that myself and my staff are here to help. Sometimes you just need to know when to reach out and ask for that help. And then also be gracious and humble when that help is provided. You have to acknowledge that help, not take credit for doing something that you didn't do. I stand ready to help. I stand ready with my staff to help. We have offered it before, and we have provided it many times before. Just ask Deputy Auditor Martin Watts. He was in the office that I was in yesterday asking for help on a particular issue, and it was graciously without question provided. So I want your listeners and the residents of Marion to know that I am here to help, but I'm not here to do somebody else's job that they were elected by the people to do.
With everything that's been done, and I don't know if I've ever asked you a question like this in the long time that we've both been around here now, but with everything that's been done, I think this is a fair question at this point. We're talking about statements last week in press releases by the auditor that seem not to be true, according to last night's city council meeting, that the books have been reconciled. They have not. We are talking about police reports that, as of last night, our own police chief says were not accurate, stealing mail on another city council member, the head of the finance committee. That was the charge that was made. We are talking about referring to other city council members as doing repulsive things in press releases. We're talking about money that in fines is being paid to the IRS because of late payments from the city. We're talking about the OPWC issue. We've talked about the competency of the auditor. We just did that. Is our city auditor, in your opinion, at this point mentally stable? Some of these things are very strange to anybody who's looking at them.
Look, that's a fair question to ask. I understand why you've asked it, but I am not qualified as a mental health professional to answer that question. I think the very fact that that question even has to be asked is of grave concern.
Let me ask you this, then. You know him somewhat. He's been in the office. What do you believe is going on? What's happening here?
Well, look, I guess if I had to sum it up this way, I think somebody got elected to a position that their heart wasn't in it. And when you get elected to these positions, you got to be all in. I've had to miss family events to do my job as a councilman as a mayor. And that goes along with the territory. That's the commitment that I have made of being the mayor of the city of Marion. So it is challenging to balance your profession as an elected official at that particular time, to balance your personal life, your family life, and something's got to give. But because the voters voted for you, I think that they want you to make those difficult decisions and put them first in so many ways. Now, I understand that the health of your personal health often cannot, you know, take a back seat. I get that. But I just think that maybe he was elected to an office that he didn't understand the gravity of what it would take to be a good elected city auditor. Maybe it's not the job that he really wanted. And if that's the case, maybe you should step away and let somebody know how to do the job. The job of the city auditor is very hands-on. It's very technical. You have to pay attention to details and deadlines. And when you don't do that, that says a lot about the respect that you have for the office that you were elected to do and the citizens that elected you to do it.
Want to go back a little ways. We have about 4 minutes left here, and I just want to give people the context of this. When these fines started to accrue from the IRS and things of that nature, I asked you if you thought the auditor should resign. He's an elected official. You said at that time the people elected him, and you were not comfortable making that decision. Back in early September, when the $2.5 million became an issue of possibly being lost, and you had to meet with the state auditor gap team, and a special meeting had to be called, you said that if this money indeed is lost, that yes, he should resign, but you weren't saying that yet. Now here we are, a month later, as you said, everything we just talked about, the erosion of the credibility of Marion, the OPWC invoices, the calling the police on another city council member which we now know the resolution to that is it was unfounded for stealing their mail, the not being in the office due to the effects from COVID, the fact that we still don't know if the $2.5 million is in jeopardy, could be, we don't know, a statement here, a press release that says the books have been reconciled. His own deputy auditor last night in city council said they're not reconciled. We are in, as you said, the middle of October. Should this auditor resign?
Well, I think what you just laid out, a little bit of a timeline there, is things just don't seem to be getting any better, do they? The shoe just keeps dropping. When you think the last shoe has dropped, another one drops on you. It's like an octopus. So I don't know how many shoes that octopus has left. But, you know, look, I still hold true to the fact that he was elected. I want him to do his job. And if he is not doing his job, then I want him to be held accountable for not doing his job. And then the voters should decide how to hold him accountable for that, along with any other means at the disposal of our government to hold him accountable. So, no, I'm still not prepared to call for his resignation. However, I believe if you have honor and if you have that character that we talked about, and if you truly believe you love your city, that maybe he should consider doing that. But I don't think he will. But no, I'm not calling for his resignation at this point. I think there are still more shoes to drop, and I'm very concerned about what those are. And I may ultimately reach the conclusion at the dropping of a particular shoe that he should resign. But I'm not there yet. I want him to do his job, and I want him to be held accountable for his actions, or in this case, his inactions of not doing his job.
Final question here in the final minute we have left. You said you have had the pleasure and honor of working with other city auditors. What's the description of working with this city auditor?
Well, I can just say that it's been very challenging. You know, previous auditors were very forthright, very open with the information necessary for me to make decisions as a councilman and as a mayor. We often hear the word transparency thrown around. I think we can throw the word transparency out the window when it comes to the city auditor. It is a meaningless statement. Unfortunately, many of his statements are meaningless.
Are the yes, no here with 10 seconds. Is the money for the city of Marion, for all the citizens who work hard in this community, safe at this point, in your opinion?
I don't know.
And that's a big statement in and of itself. Mayor Scott Schertzer coming on special time here to discuss this. And Mayor, when we talk next, hopefully maybe it's a little more flowery issues, better stuff.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, Mayor Scott Schertzer, there you have it for this day. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
But, you know, if they would say, yeah, come on back, you know, let's let cooler heads prevail, absolutely, I would get rid of the lawsuit. You know, this was the lawsuit was just a means by which we could open the conversation.